Hello, welcome back to another episode of Pastor Vic's Nuggets of Truth. Before we get into the message, a reminder that on my website, there are downloadable materials that you can download, absolutely free, resources that you can use. And so go to www.pastorvic.com. Amen. Today I want to take a look at a few words that we use in the scriptures and we use as Christians. And sometimes as Christians, we get a one-sided view of what a term may mean. And so probably the most important concept that we can look at is the concept of what the kingdom is. As a matter of fact, it's such an important truth that Jesus tells us to first seek his kingdom and then his righteousness. Then all these things shall be added to you. That's Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Now, to put this into context, what Jesus is saying is our focus in life should not be on food, clothing, and shelter. The Lord knows that we need those things, but they should not be our primary focus. Our focus should be on the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And if we do that, his promise is that he'll make sure that all of our needs are met. So if our focus should be on the kingdom, then what is the kingdom? Well, the kingdom of God is the realm where Jesus reigns as king and God's authority is supreme. The kingdom exists here and now in the lives and in the hearts of the redeemed. And it also, of course, the kingdom also exists in the future for us as we, when we understand the principle, the concept of heaven, where we're going to spend eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ. So the kingdom of God is good news. Now, or what we could call the gospel, good news or the gospel. As a matter of fact, the word gospel means good news, and it's used 111 times in the New Testament. The good news is the gospel of the kingdom, in which the reign of our King Jesus exists on earth today. Now, the kingdom is a spiritual kingdom, but it has an impact upon the physical world that we live in today. We say that the spiritual realm manifests itself in the physical world that we live in. Now, scriptures tell us that Jesus came preaching the kingdom. Now, the word preach or preaching is used like 77 times in the New Testament. And the term preach, now let me define this carefully, means simply to announce or to tell someone. If you tell others about Jesus, what he's done for you, then you are a preacher. Now I understand that some people feel awkward or embarrassed to be thought of as a preacher. They say, oh no, I'm not a preacher, I can't be a preacher. But all it really means is to talk about the good news that you've experienced through Jesus. Remember Acts 1:8. The scripture tells us that Jesus said that when the Spirit has come upon us, that we shall receive power to be witnesses to him, to witnesses to Jesus. Your witness is your testimony, and there's power in your testimony. Revelations 12:11 says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and that they did not love their lives to the death. In other words, your testimony is what Jesus has done for you. It's not simply your salvation experience, but it's everyday occurrences when God meets your needs, gives you peace in your heart, provides healing to your body. Those are opportunities to share. And when you're sharing, you're preaching. Yes, you're preaching. I know that we think of preaching as someone standing on the pulpit or behind the pulpit, but preaching is simply telling others or announcing the truth that you have experienced. Now, when you share your testimony, as I said, you're preaching, and your testimony, it has intrinsic power. Now, what I mean by that is that there is power in just sharing it. There is spiritual power that is made available simply by sharing. It's not about how you present it. It's simply that you do present it. Now, I realize that when we look at preachers, you know, on the TV or in church, they're usually very, you know, strong personalities, and they have a certain style of ministry, and they use words that are very impressive. But that's a different type of preaching. Jesus did not come doing that. Jesus came and just simply spoke to the people about the kingdom of God, of which he is the king. See, if there's a kingdom, there must be a king. And we know that Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So it's not about how you present it, but as I said, that you do present it. Now, probably one of the greatest preachers, if you will, in the Bible was the Apostle Paul. He wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. And, you know, you may imagine him as a very powerful speaker and an orator, but he really wasn't. As a matter of fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, listen to what the Apostle Paul says. And he says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimonies of God." Can you hear? Listen to what, did you hear that? He's saying, I didn't come with you with fancy speech. I didn't come to you with tremendous wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. Then he goes on in verse 2. He says, "For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." You see, when we're preaching Jesus Christ. We're sharing what Jesus has done and what he has purchased at the cross of Calvary. All the benefits that we experience as Christians is because Jesus allowed himself to go to the cross, shed his blood, died, but remember, he rose again on the third day. And so when we realize that that's really what the world needs to hear, then we understand that preaching is just simply talking about Jesus, what Jesus has done for you. Then he goes on to say, as I continue, the Apostle Paul, he says, "I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling." How many times have you felt that way when you felt that you wanted to tell someone about Jesus? Probably the greatest fear that we have is the fear of rejection. But we're just simply called to not convince someone, but just simply to tell them and then allow God to do the work in their hearts. Then in verse 4, Paul says, "And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." You see, Paul is saying it's not the ability to use fancy words or to have a tremendous vocabulary, but it's simply sharing the truth of what God has done for you. And then finally he says, the reason that he didn't want to people to be impressed by the kinds of words but to be impressed by the Spirit and the power of those words, the power of the words to pierce the heart. And then he goes on in verse 5 to say that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So you might ask, you know, where is the kingdom? Well, Luke 17:20 tells us that it's in us, that the Spirit lives, that the kingdom of God lives in us. Jesus was asked by some Pharisees in Luke 17:20 that when would the kingdom of God come? And Jesus said, the kingdom of God does not come with observation. It's not something that you're going to see and all of a sudden it arrives. But it will, nor will they say, see here or see there. For indeed, the kingdom of God is within you. As a born-again believer, we have the Holy Spirit living in us. The kingdom of God is in us. We are part of that kingdom. Around the world, there are millions and millions and millions of Christians. All of us represent the kingdom of God on earth. Now, the earth, as we know it, is not the kingdom of God, because we know that the kingdom of God is spiritual, but it's very real, and it has a significant impact on the physical world that we live in. And so while our kingdom is a spiritual kingdom, it has an effect, an impact. It influences the world that we live in. But I'll tell you what, there's even more good news that I can give you. You know, the good news is that we are sons and daughters of the King. In other words, in the kingdom, there are only sons and daughters. And we are those sons. And again, I don't have time to read in Galatians, but I would suggest that you read the end of Galatians chapter 3 and the beginning of Galatians chapter 4. And very clearly it says that in God's eyes, there's no difference between men, women, Gentile, Jew, slave, or free. All are one in Christ. All are sons in Christ. And so as sons, that means that we have rights and privileges as sons of the King. We have the keys to the kingdom. Now, on earth, not one day when we get to heaven, but we have power and authority on earth today. The Lord's Prayer says, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." We have the ability, because the kingdom lives in us, to exercise that. And we need to exercise those rights and those privileges by exercising our faith that we are King's kids. Hallelujah. You're a king kid. Your father is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Remember, we're called to walk by faith and not by sight. And so the kingdom, again, is a spiritual kingdom, but nevertheless, it is real. Well, sometimes we forget, especially in a crisis, who we are and who we belong. I love this story in Acts, beginning in Acts chapter 27, verse 22, where the Apostle Paul is a prisoner and being transported to Rome on a ship. And the ship begins to enters into a storm and begins to flounder, and the crewmen are ready to throw him overboard because they think he's brought bad luck to them. But listen to what the Apostle Paul says as he turns the situation around. And he says to the men, he says, "And now I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship." The ship is going to sink, but no one's going to be lost. "For there stood by me this night an angel of God to whom I belong and whom I serve." I want you to hear that. "For there stood by me this night an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve." You see, he knew he belonged to God. Do you know that you belong to God? I want to say that again. "For there stood by me this night an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve." Hallelujah. It's one thing to know God, but how great it is when you are confident and you are assured that He knows you. You have power, you have authority because of the Holy Spirit who dwells within you. Remember, the kingdom is a kingdom of power and authority. I'm going to close with a final thought, and this has to do with Joshua. I was doing a Bible study last week, and we were reading Joshua chapter 1. And you may recall Joshua takes over the mantle of Moses, who has died. And as Moses dies, Joshua now becomes a new leader of Israel. And they're about ready to cross over the Jordan River to take the land which God had given them. But remember, the land was occupied. And so, and obviously the people who occupied that land did not want to give up their land. And so God says to Joshua three times, he says, "Joshua, be bold and be courageous." You may remember that. And then a little bit further along, it says, "Joshua, I want you to be bold and very courageous." And then a third time in the same chapter, chapter 1, he says, "Joshua, I want you to be bold and courageous." Now, when you hear those words, bold and courageous, you may think that what God was talking about is, I don't want you to be afraid. You know, I don't want you to be intimidated by the enemy. I don't think that's what God was talking about. I think what God was saying is that I'm going to do extraordinary things through you. I'm going to do extraordinary things for the nation of Israel. You need to be bold and courageous to obey my word, because what I'm going to ask you to do sometimes may seem nonsensical. It doesn't make sense. But if you will trust me, I will bring victory into your hand. Now, I hope you can understand what I'm saying there. You and I are called to walk by faith. Our walk is a faith walk. God will call us to do things that don't line up with the way the world does things. And because it doesn't line up with the way the world does things, sometimes we think that's strange. How can God be glorified in it? But God's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. It says in Isaiah 55 that his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And what we see is every time Joshua and Israel obeyed God, no matter how, I want to use the word ridiculous, God was asking them to do things, but every time they obeyed the Lord, they had tremendous success. And then there were times when they did not obey the Lord. And when they did, they were defeated. And so I want to encourage you this day to pursue God. Pursue the kingdom. Pursue his righteousness. And all the things that you desire and need in your life will be made manifest for you. He will cause it to come to you. One of the greatest ways that we can preach the kingdom, if you will, is to pray for people who are sick. Jesus said in Luke 10 verse 9, "And heal the sick there and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you." Healing is the clearest sign that the kingdom of God is at work. And in that healing, others will be caused to be drawn to him. There's power in the kingdom because Jesus is our King. And when we pray for the sick, miraculous things happen and the kingdom becomes evident for all to see. And I'm going to take this moment right now to pray for you. You may be in a situation where you're not in good health. You may be suffering from pain. I spoke this Sunday in a church service, and the Lord gave me some words of knowledge, and I believe it applies here as well. You know, there are those that are suffering with hip pain, suffering with knee pain, and I just sense, you know, that there are some suffering with neck pain. The word of the Lord is that he's healing right now. He's healing pain and of the liver. If that's you, just claim that healing for yourself. Say, yes, that's me. I claim that healing. Liver pain. The Lord is just speaking to those that are having difficulty with their vision. Right now, just claim that healing for yourself. Let the kingdom of God touch you. Let Jesus, by his Holy Spirit and his anointing, just release a fresh release into your life. And right now, in the name of Jesus, healing right now in Jesus' name. Be healed in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We serve an awesome God. God bless you. I hope to see you the next time. Amen.